to the Generative Art Podcast with Tim and Ruth. While we've been recording these podcasts, we kind of find ourselves going on a lot of little tangents, and there's so many little areas to explore in regards to generative art, so we decided that every now and then we'll just bucket up our little conversation and put it into a random episode. And ironically, this first random episode is about random itself. Curious thing with generative art is that I guess by nature of it, there's no way that you can have absolutely no tooling. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
You need one piece at the very, very least of the puzzle to be some degree of not in your control. I watched an analytical kind of like, what do you say, like psychology show recently where there was a light bulb and it was flashing on and off a particular way, and there are people watching it, and at the end of it they kind of went to the people and said, do you think it was random or it was not random? Which of course is very relevant to generative art. And a lot of them said that it is absolutely not random, like there's a very particular pattern behind it. And then they kind of revealed that the thing making the light bulb go on and off was a fish swimming from left or right in a fish tank.
Oh, wow. That is really, really interesting. it's quite relevant to something else that I want to talk about, which is completely unrelated to tooling. how do you randomly generate randomness, actually, when it comes to generating things?
Damn.
Yeah, maybe we should have started.
I feel like I want to have some research done before we talk about true random.
Would you say that is true if you were just painting something that was generative?
Yeah, I mean, you still, I think, by nature need. So in this instance, the fish would be the tool of random. I guess you can't be the true random in yourself, because then you would be the computer generating the thing, I think. But to I guess, kind of kick this all off and wrap it all up without that completely random thought that I blurted straight away. Yeah, I think everything in generative art, there's like so many different aspects of which tools are important, and we can kind of go through a bunch of those. I guess to outline them, we would say we use tooling, as in we're going to use a laptop, or we're going to use some code. We're going to use particular libraries to make things look cool. We're going to use particular tooling to get, say, our randomness. You know, the goldfish is a good example, but then, audio and things like that as an input, and also tooling to get those as an output, and then lots of physical ways. Well, I guess we should what should we start with?
If we're talking about randomness, there's quite a lot to cover as to what generates randomness. If we're talking about tooling, there's quite a lot to cover in ways of whether we're talking about coding tooling or physical tooling, which we're probably going to cover in this episode. And we can come back to generating randomness if you like. How about that? Yes.
Talk about that for days. I guess like if we go back to a kind of like historical sense of generative art and the kind of initial tooling, I guess you would say, God, I've got so many like weird things. Was it Mozart or someone who would write each line of music and then kind of roll the dice as to which, I don't know, what's the musical term for like a paragraph of music?
A phrase, a bar?
Yeah, a bar. There we go. A bar.
I feel like I've added to this episode. Thank you.
and would roll the dice and then use those dice numbers to decide how the arrangement would be pieced together.
Oh, that's an incredible piece of information. That's like probably one of the first pieces of generative art.
Yeah, yeah. Actually. It's funny to kind of go back to that.
Yeah, and a great way to create music. Our first tool for this episode is a dice. I was reading about that just the other day, just dice rolling. And how, you know, people have used it to sort of make decisions and things like that. But you can absolutely just bring that into code for your generative. Yeah, yeah. Like, it could just be numbers from 1 to 6. And they could be your decisions.
That's it. I mean, I feel like, yeah, that's it. Like, the generative piece that I like to create first with most people when I'm kind of teaching it in a class or trying to give someone an example of what generative art is that 20 go to 10, or is it just called go to 10? The go to 10 example, where it does a slash 50% of the time from the right going to the left and 50% of the time from the left going to the right. And I guess that is the equivalent of a coin toss. But I guess that kind of popped into my head because when you're talking about, what is the easiest example, or what if you were personally painting a generative art piece, that would be another good example of that, kind of tying it to the left, to the right.
One of my... One thing I always think about, because it's all down to probability when you're doing things like tossing coins and rolling dice, is you can always get a head. You can always get a tail. It's the weirdest thing about probability, which I can never stop thinking about. You can roll a dice 100 times, you can always get a one. Like, the probability of always getting a one is the same.
Oh, yeah, like 100
it's the same
out of 100.
As getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc., etc., which almost like obviously, but it just bemuses me.
I think there's like a good example of a sorting algorithm that just randomly does everything. And so it's like the probability of the sorting algorithm sorting it in one cycle, which no sorting algorithm can do, exists. So it's like is technically has the chance of being the most efficient way to sort an array, but it also has the option of literally never getting it correct, which makes it also the most inefficient way of sorting an array. Just useful information, kind of deep depths of random. Maybe we should have a whole random episode.
I think that we should have a whole random episode I do have more to say about this, which I'm struggling not to talk about right now, if I'm honest with you.
No, let's just keep talking about random.
Okay. About random numbers recently, exactly based on this, right? Because, and it goes back to your swimming fish example. when you're emulating nature, oh, goodness me, I'm struggling with words. Perlin came up with his Perlin noise, which was you don't just create random numbers as you would like a rolling dice 100 times, because actually on average what you are going to get is the same amount of ones and the same amount of twos and the same amount of threes, because that's randomness, right? And it's the same when you're coding.
Right. It's like an ugly noise.
If you code with JavaScript, which is what I code with, and you do math.random, which is the function to get a random number, if you do that over time, you get the same amount of 0.1s and 0.2s and 0.3s, right?
Right. It's an even distribution.
Yeah. And in nature, this doesn't really happen. What you get in nature is probably a lot of 0.4s and 0.5s if we're doing numbers, say, between 0 and 1. And then every so often, you get a 0.1 and a 0.9. So you get this sort of bell curve distribution of random numbers. And this is what Perlin came up with when he was thinking about Perlin noise, is he's got this bell curve of distribution of random numbers, which is why we use Perlin noise for emulating things like clouds and leaf distribution on trees and sort of that kind of nature randomness. And I was thinking about this quite a lot recently, because I was thinking about how to generate random numbers in code, because I do that. And I was thinking, could I come up with my own noise for random number distribution in JavaScript? So I filled a buffer in the web audio API with random mm-hmm. numbers, which, as we know, makes white noise.
That's what it's for those listening.
Exactly like that. And started piping it through wave shapers. Because if I get the right wave shaper to pass it through, it's going to change the shape of that noise to what should be Perlin noise if I can get the right wave shaper. But I have no idea what the equation for that is at the moment. And I've started getting different distributions of random numbers.
I mean, that's great.
What I haven't got around to yet is actually emulating this to see what it looks like visually, which is the reason for it, the end result. So, you know, how is that going to look like as clouds, for instance? Am I, because white noise, if you think about it, looks like static on a yeah. telly, and we're trying to sort of emulate sort of clouds or fog. But what different wave shapes are going to give me different clouds, basically?
Right.
So, yes, I have been kind of in a little rabbit hole of my own about random noise distribution, random number distribution.
I mean, just the whole general idea of noise, which I guess we'll also talk about in when we talk about algorithms. I always try and find an easy way to teach it and explain it. And I think the way that you've described the randomness there, where Although counter to our regular thing, like a coin flip could always be one or it could always be whatever, it could always be heads, it could always be tails. And over time, you get a fairly even distribution just by the nature of the universe. It is a cool way of describing it in that in real nature, it's not a total random. Like, yeah, the branch doesn't grow on the tree in a random fucking direction, because I've tried to code it that way. And it's like, oh, wait a second. Yeah, I need to say your angle can actually be predominantly, you know, 30 degrees out of the tree. You never come 90 degrees out of the tree. And you come in a variance amongst that area. The random, I guess I kind of want to do the research now of what is, you know, I think in math there's the idea of true random. Does that exist? The chaotic?
Yeah, well, this is just random. It, isn't it? The random numbers we're generating.
Or can there be no
in
true
code,
random?
I do not believe a true random. I'm sure we can find some more information to back up what I have read, which I can't bring to the forefront of my memory right now. But yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's going to go into like a deep cryptography yeah. world, right? Because is the random, we're really going for it here, the random generated in by like say the MD5 thing, it's like is not good enough. It's why we get the clashes. Is that why? Yeah.
I don't think that you can just emulate that with like bits and bytes, can you? And it's kind of weird that you don't see it in nature either, that nature's actually not random. It's not true random. Yeah. It is always within a certain set of parameters, and then every so often it will deviate, but it's only every so often. For the most part, it stays within parameters.
Yeah. That's kind of reassuring, honestly. Reassuring to me. But then, of course, so often with our generative art, we kind of curtail it the same way to get a really nice thing. It's actually a fantastic example, the noise example that you gave. If we want to draw something nice on a page, we could pick 20 random locations and have, you know, a pen draw out to those things, but you kind of are left with a scribble, right? Instead, we want to say, hey, let's get random on a curve or half the time, or your previous number actually affects how you generate your next random number.
Yeah, that's precisely it. And you're always curating that, aren't you? Like, it's always based on the motions that you decide you want to put in? I feel like that's a very obvious statement.
I don't know. I needed to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, which it's is kind of like doing different. One of those things where it just smashes against your head and you're thinking about 20 different.
Yeah. 20 different. It's slightly different from the parameters that you set. It's like you are setting the curation parameters, like you have this paper and you have this pen and you have, you know, you want to draw straight lines, not curves. You have added to that. I want it then to draw from here to here, but only within these subset of randomness. Please don't deviate too much, because if we deviate too much, it might not look very good.
Yeah, I've just been playing with maze algorithms, which is, you know, there's multiple different ways of generating kind of a large maze, for, you know, like a mouse maze, not the corn. And yeah, it's similar things like the random, you know, if you're, say you had a grid of squares and you wanted to, you just pick a random wall out of the multiple walls, and then you pick one and then you go into that space and then you pick another one that's available and you kind of keep picking until you've kind of carved a pathway through all these walls. It's very, very likely that you'll head to, unless you have an infinitely wide maze, which I don't want, you're going to hit one of the actual true walls on the side, and then you can't kind of random your way out of it. So I guess you would say people that do generative art are arbiters of random. Is that a fair first statement?
Yeah, I think it is. Like, one of the reasons I was going down this rabbit hole anyway was because just that sort of linearness that I was getting from the randomness of code wasn't, I was going to say random enough, but it wasn't curated randomness enough, if that makes sense.
It was too random.
It was too straightforward random. I wanted to add something more to that randomness to make it, to have more control over it, basically. But there was also that kind of creative process behind it, because now I'm able to shape the randomness that's coming out. And now that I've got that working, which is literally the only stage I've got to, I did this on one flight, one 11-hour flight, where I just had this idea and I was like, oh, let's just fill a buffer with random noise and then shape it and see what happens. And I've only just started getting numbers out. So I will let you know the progress.
I think if you, and it kind of goes back to the Motan. I should actually totally double check that he was the guy, but historically speaking, he's usually the guy. The kind of aspect of random in his thing isn't going to affect it, because he, you know, would write a piece of music in one key altogether, or you know, compatible keys. So when it goes from A to B, there is a huge element of the non-random, which says, you know, this is actually going to still sound nice. It's not going to sound like absolute garbage, which is, I guess his
Perlin. It is quite interesting how the mediums that we choose to do this have that sort of built in. So you can choose to put music into a key that's, so it's always going to sound harmonious, because you're using notes within that realm of key. You can do it with color as well, right? So you can choose a color palette that is harmonious, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazier once you start to move those things into, you know, I guess, would you say music is, I guess it's a two-dimensional space, and then we're gonna say do generative art on like a pen plotter where you have a two-dimensional space. But then once you start to get into 3D modeling and kind of like distortion in a grander scheme, like the wind is a good example for, you know, in a, say a Pixar film, it's kind of in the 3D, it just starts to get more and more I don't know, scary to code.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you look at sound. But yes, it depends whether you want to get into spatialization or not. But yes, I understand what you mean.
There's that weird YouTube video that kind of went around for a while that was, I don't really know how relative this is, but they gave kind of different drugs to spiders.
Oh, yes.
So like a spider will make a web that is truly not random. You know, it's like, I'm in this position, I want to catch bugs, I'm going to make a nice proper net. And then with caffeine,
it went
I don't
crazy.
Really understand what goes on in their brain, but suddenly they're overthinking the web, I wonder, or they're underthinking it and it turns into a mess. And then they kind of gave them, I think it went really weird. They gave them LSD and a bunch of other things and they got seven different kinds of webs.
Yeah, that's so true. I forgot about that. I haven't seen that for a long time.
Is that related?
Well, it's nature and randomness. Yeah, it's kind of the same when you start messing around with random numbers, right? Like, this is Pearl and Noise on drugs, basically.
That's it.
But yeah.
Get a spider. Yeah, it's like the goldfish. Just get a goldfish, put it left and right. I think somebody did, you know, there was the Twitch Plays Pokemon era. I think I kind of recall there being Goldfish Plays Pokemon, which it didn't get any distant because it was pretty random and it didn't really have a brain trying to direct it. But if it swam into certain areas on the fish tank, it would be pressing very particular buttons. Goldfish is closer to a very random.
I'm now wondering whether we can do goldfish noise.
Goldfish
noise. Instead of Perlin noise, we have goldfish noise.
So I mean, I wonder.
All right, and then sometimes it'll just be completely erratic.
Coding a goldfish,
right?
That's what we're considering here. Full goldfish
AI. Letting the goldfish code, one or the other.
I could do that. Lots of A's. It would be smarter than me, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it would probably make better decisions. Let the goldfish make decisions. Coding is just making decisions a lot of the time. Just
another kind of weird random thing that I'm thinking about now is the weather. Like, why? I mean, it's because of the randomness, right? Like, I feel like we should be able to predict the weather perfectly, you know?
Yes, I feel like
in my ideal
world, can't at all, can we?
Yeah, in my ideal world, the start of every year, everyone flocks together and there's a great computer kind of sitting at the top and it prints out a big long piece of paper that says the exact weather for the entire year. So then everyone can plan accordingly. But even with all the data that we have, which is, a royal ton, it still doesn't matter. They're going to say it's going to rain on Friday and it's going to mess us up and it's going to be sunny or it's going to be the opposite.
Yeah. So I like the fact that you experienced that as well. Just so the listeners are aware, Tim is situated in New York and I'm situated in the southwest of the UK. Not particularly hugely different climates, but our weather is just never predicted correctly. One thing that you can always depend on is it will rain here. So
sounds predictable. yeah.
So when you look at the weather, like I look at the weather on my phone in the morning, and it will say sun, 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 sun. And you'll be like, right, so at 2 o'clock, it's probably going to rain. Even if it's just going to drizzle a little bit, it will, because it's the UK. The other thing that you notice is when it says percentage chance of rain, in the UK, that's not a percentage chance. That's an amount of rain. It will rain. If it says 10%, that's drizzle. If it's 90%, that's a thunderstorm, right?
I guess that kind of measures out. But yeah, I guess.
But I do know exactly what you mean because, I will look at the weather for the week and it just Friday will be absolutely completely different to what they say, and it will change every single day as well. Like they don't seem to have any way of predicting it, which seems so weird.
But it is that, like, by nature of that being difficult, you know, the weather, for instance, they can say if everything stays exactly the same, then the warmth from over there, you know, from this area will come into this pressure system, or however that works, and the difficulty of predicting that, because a small tiny thing at the start is going to totally affect your outcome, is actually like the exact behavior that you're trying to harness, especially with computer built generative art. Like, you want to build a really complex, amazing looking thing, and you want it to be difficult for someone to understand how that could have remotely been created, you know, when two tiny different variables were fed into it at the start. So it's, you know what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. I hadn't really ever considered it like that, because I always thought that you want something similar. Like, if you're doing a series of pieces from the same program, let's say, and you are passing in one different variable at the beginning, which can be based on your parameter, whatever data it is that you want to change, that the outcome has some resemblance the second time to the first time, so that you can see they're from the same program. Does that make sense?
But then if you have, say, like a chaining or a recursive algorithm, and your random out of 10 draws a 10 in the first iteration, and your different example, it draws a 3, you know, 20 iterations down, you're going to have a completely different world of thing.
You're going to have a completely different planet.
Yeah, that's it. If only we had, you know, 7 fingers.
If only.
It would have been all
right. And that suddenly makes a lot more sense as to why it's so hard to predict the weather. Because
I still wish we had it.
maybe generative art will solve this problem one day. Maybe somebody.
The weather is the planet's generative art. The clouds and all that jazz. I mean, it kind of is, to the very sense, you know, we do so much generative art to try to replicate nature and try to replicate how things work.
I'm really glad you made that statement for the next time I'm stuck in a thunderstorm without an umbrella.
Thanks. Yeah, random number weather generator.
just be like, it's okay. It's just the world's generative art. I'm just here.
I think if you made a weather website that just ran on a random number generator, maybe like a Perlin-esque one, so it semi-simulates real things. You know, it doesn't go from rainy to sunny in every back again every 10 seconds. I think you could very reasonably convince somebody that it is a real weather forecast. The Turing weather test, I call it. Thank you for listening to our random chat on Random. You can find all the information from the chat on generativeartistry.com, including a transcription and all that jazz. Tune in next week, because we'll be talking about tooling.